Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
So I know you've got a lot going on. But remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
Heather McDonald has got the juicy scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life Mr. Segment, serial data, and serial sister. You'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Woo, woo. Heather McDonald, Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. As always, I have a killer show for you. I want to thank everybody who came to our show in Scottsdale. It was so much fun, and I made it back in time to have the best Mother's Day, pre-Mother's Day ever. So get ready for Mother's Day, but I already had a wonderful time with my son. Like I told you guys, I was so excited for it. I'm going to talk more about the whole thing on Patreon Friday. You go to heathermcdonald.net to do the Patreon, because there's a whole backstory to what really happened. Though I also made a reel of it. And with Brandon's permission, he allowed me to share his wonderful speech about me. And every mom should be so lucky. So anyway, here are some more dates coming. The next one will be Denver at Comedy Works. That is May 17th and 18th. Please come to that show. I've got Pechanga, which is in Temecula, with the hilarious Chris Frangiola. That is June 1st. Then Tampa, Orlando, San Diego, Texas, Houston, Austin, Dallas, all these dates, fall dates, New York, Chicago, Pennsylvania, the Parks Casino, all of that is at heathermcdonald.net. The tickets are selling fast, and once they're gone, they're gone, but make sure you go there. First, listen, you know how I love a rap battle, but listen, this is a real thing. Drake, not my son, is in a rap battle that appears to have been going on for years with Kendrick Lamar. What's sad is, in the beginning, the two of them were really good friends. They collaborated. They went on tour together. I think Kendrick Lamar opened for Drake. But then it turned, and it's analyzing these lyrics is like just as difficult as analyzing Taylor Swift. Like, it is just goes on. You have to go way back. You have to figure out what this means and what's going on. And TikTok is going crazy trying to analyze it. But what I got from the gist of it is both of them are putting out tracks. I guess they're just putting out new songs, or they have songs, or they're just coming up with a song in a minute, going back and forth. Both basically saying that they're both horrible boyfriends and might be into underage girls. So, and then they defend it and say, no, you're it. And they're like, no, you're the one that's going to be like Mike, meaning Michael Jackson. No, you're the one that's going to be down. I don't know. But anyway, apparently there's some fun beats along with all the dissing. So enjoy. Also, everyone is talking about the roast of Tom Brady, which is part of Netflix's A Joke LA Festival. So it was a huge room, way more elaborate than what we used to see with the roasts of Comedy Central. And, you know, big names, big stars, other football players. I've seen clips with Ben Affleck and Will Ferrell. And the biggest one that got the most news was Kim Kardashian. Now, remember, she was rumored to possibly have been dating him, or something was going on with him, or she was going to buy a house next door to him a little while ago, she and Tom Brady. She got up there with her long blonde hair now and, you know, a black dress, and she got booed. From the moment she took the mic, she got a lot of audible boos. Though she delivered her monologue well, from what I can tell, and some people thought the jokes were funny. I mean, remember, she did the SNL monologue and she did really well. Of course, she's not writing these jokes, but, you know, participating in what the gist of them are or whatever. And so I have to watch it. I have yet to watch it. I want to watch it and talk about it more with a fellow comedian, which will be my guest on Thursday. So I'm going to watch it and really take it apart. I personally have trouble kind of watching these roasts because they are so like cruel and mean, and then they go after each other. But it is entertaining and it's getting a lot of buzz. So we'll talk about that. But a lot of people think that she took the booze in stride and still killed it and ate, left no crumbs, and all the expressions that means like she didn't give a shit and shined. So we'll see. Tonight is the Met Gala, where everybody wears these crazy outfits. And the theme is Anna Wintour, who is the head of Vogue, that does this whole thing. It's, you know, remember, this whole thing is for charity, for like to help with art museums or something. And fashion designers pay for certain tables. And that's how you get invited. And you have to be invited by her. And when you're in, you're in. And when you're out, you're not coming. And she said, "We came up with the title Sleeping Beauties. It's wonderful. It's poetic. It's romantic. But actually, it could be many, many things. That means you have to dress in that theme. Sleeping Beauties is the theme. That, paired with the Garden of Time dress code," she said, "may have caused mixed signals. I fear we have unleashed a lot of confusion out there, in which I deeply apologize." I always find this is so weird. Either some people go so crazy, or their outfit makes no sense, or they just show up wearing just like a beautiful gown and they're like, fuck it. I don't want to be uncomfortable. I don't care if I ever come again. Whatever. But it will be fun to see it, so I'm sure you'll enjoy. Let's look at the photos this morning. J-Lo, there's all these pre-parties and after-parties, and J-Lo was left looking for her Uber the way Peter and I were left looking for our Uber at Stagecoach the other weekend, and it is awful. I don't know why she didn't have a driver. This was one of the pre-parties. There's all these after-parties people want to go to. It sounds like the most fun, most exhausting night of your life. And at this point, I don't know that I'll ever be invited. And I don't know if I totally care. But Ross Matthews is lucky enough to, he's doing the red carpet, which is a dream, I'm sure, for anybody to do something like that. So fashion into it. Okay, this is a crazy story that's going around. I'm sure Dateline offices are all over it because this is a horrible story made for a Dateline episode. There is this young pastor. He's good looking. He has the Southern accent. He has the more casual, charming outfits. And he had a wife named Micah Miller. She's very young and pretty as well. He goes and does his sermon. And all these sermons are now coming up online because every single one of them was either streamed or filmed or whatever. After he finished the whole service, he said, "Oh, and by the way, I have something to say. You know, and I just want to say it, and I want you guys to leave quietly, and I don't want you to talk about it or talk about it to each other. Just leave, and then I'm going to take a little bit of time off. But I just got word yesterday that my wife has died, and it was self-inflicted, and, you know, he's kind of like shaking, and his voice is crying." Immediately, people are like, "Wait, what the fuck?" So here are all the things that I have read from all different sources and why it's confusing. So his story is that she shot herself and ended her life. They find out that they had been separated. They also find out that she had filed a report saying that someone was stalking her and put something in her tire that made her tire go flat. And then when she took the car to the dealership, they said there's also a tracking device on your car, and they're not saying who she stated in the police report who that is, but it appears that it would be the ex-husband. There's also reports that she's kept these diaries and binders of the abuse that she suffered at the hands of being his wife before she had filed for divorce. Then there's reports that she was groomed, met him when she was 15 in one of his churches, which is now closed. But then they didn't get married until they were both divorced from someone else and had kids, but that he was really abusive sexually abusive, including other people. Like, there's this one story that she allegedly wrote and shared with people that he would insist on picking up a homeless person, in which he would engage in sexual acts or make her engage in sexual acts with. I mean, it is so disturbing, all the stuff that's coming out. And like I'm saying, this is like all alleged. It's my understanding he has not been arrested yet. However, the church has put him on leave. They just sent out a letter today. He also has this woman that he was seen eating with right after. And she claims not to be his girlfriend. And she then got in there and made a statement and said, he just was looking for someone to eat with, and I happen to be available. We're not romantic. However, his wife, Micah Miller, was definitely had mental illness and had threatened to, you know, commit suicide in the past and all these other things. And but she says way too much than she should. She like brings up all these different instances. Like one time she was so distraught that she threw a belt out the window of her car thinking it was a snake. And she's like saying all this stuff that clearly the only way she'd have that information is from this pastor that she supposedly is not involved with. So this is an insane story. We'll see what the evidence is with the gunshot. One report is that the gunshot was to the back of her head. The other one was like, we don't know. So we don't have the report from the autopsy yet. He has not been arrested yet, but very, very suspicious. And being that we're able to see his sermons about different things, just more and more odd sermons about, you know, he's just so good at it. He's like such a good speaker, and he's so gregarious. But then when you look back at what he was saying, and then she was quite active on social media and really sharing about her abuse. There's text messages between friends of hers that are like, I'm really glad that you got out of it. Even though we're Christians, you shouldn't have gotten divorced, but I'm glad you got out of it. This is an insane story. So it's the Micah Miller case. I'm just very, very sad that she is not with us. Soon we'll know, hopefully, what the truth is. Real Housewives of New Jersey, it began on Sunday, and I talked about this on my Patreon. There's a lot going on with social media and these accounts that were dedicated to Real Housewives of New Jersey content and shows. And one of these accounts has come forward and said, I was in contact with Teresa and with Jennifer Aiden for quite a while in strategically putting out tweets and things about other cast members, which then they could read the tweet on when the cameras were there. They'd be like, okay, allegedly, tomorrow they're coming to my house, the producers, to film me. And so if you could put out that tweet about so-and-so's lawsuit or about, you know, the alleged story behind this one's husband, sexual preferences or whatever, put it out there on Twitter, because then I can be talking to my husband or whoever when the cameras are there and go, oh my God, did you see this? Do you see the crazy shit that's going on right now on the internet about so-and-so's husband? And now it's available on the show. And now, you know, Teresa now has something that she needs to fight or defend or talk about or whatever. So then they claim you're creating this for a storyline. Is she creating it for a storyline for herself, or is she out to really hurt another cast member's reputation, or is it a little of both? Then other accounts are like, my God, the other team has done it. So if you look at this photo, this is the team. And the reason Dolores is in the middle is because she is Switzerland, and that's part of her tagline. So it's Team Melissa is Melissa, and I think her name is Rachel Fuda. Fuda's her last name, and Margaret, versus Teresa and Jennifer Aiden and this Danielle. I don't know what side this new Danielle is on, but anyway, it's split, and they don't even want to talk about. Melissa's like, I don't even want to talk about Teresa in my confessionals anywhere. Don't ask me questions about her. So we got into the screaming last night. They go to Jen Fessler's 55th birthday surprise party, and Teresa shows up, and she's like, you know, Louie and this Fuda guy who's new, this one's husband, got into it at the reunion at the end because Fuda's like, why did you contact my ex-wife? And why did you put all this stuff out about my ex-wife who's struggling with drug addiction and in and out of prison? And she's, and then that woman said awful things about him. She said he liked a double-headed dildo, and which I don't even know how that physically worked between a man and a woman, but whatever. I was thinking about it last night. And, you know, he was a drug dealer many years ago, which caused him to be in legal trouble, which now he is not. He has a business. He's doing fine. So he's pissed that that's put out there and that she's talking about it. So they're fighting about it at the party, screaming. And people are like, oh, I don't even want to watch this. But now that the story has come out that this this girl, Gabriella, who's at Melissa's old nose, is now singing like a canary, allegedly. Other people say she's not to be believed. She's like, look, I was a mom with a special needs child who decided to bully Melissa and other cast members through the internet. And I was so excited to have someone like Teresa and Jennifer Aiden give me any time of day. I just did whatever they told me to do. And now I realize I was manipulated. And I was also creating storylines for them. And I feel gross and I want out now. And everyone's like, it's almost like when someone is accused of murder or whatever, and they're on trial, and then the person that they shared a cell with, who's also a criminal and, you know, looking for any kind of break of their sentence, says, oh, well, they confessed the murder to me. They told me. And then the defense is like, why would you believe that piece of shit? They were in the cell with them, and they're looking at 20 years as well. So why would you believe that? Why wouldn't they just make this story up? Because they know they're sharing a cell with someone who's on trial for murder, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's like all these people, I don't know, but they're trying to show DMs and things, and it's gotten really ugly. And I kind of feel like, I don't know how much the audience really cares. I think they just kind of want to watch it. And other people are like, I'm over it and I don't want to watch it. So that's what's going on there. This Juicy Scoop episode is sponsored by Rakuten. Are you guys ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back. Get 15% cash back at hundreds of stores, including places like Ulta. You can get Splendid, Good American. Rakuten is how in-the-know shoppers get the best savings. They shop the brands they love and earn cash back on top deals. During Big Give Week, May 6th to May 13th, the cash back rates are even bigger. I'll be shopping for fashion and beauty. You could save on everything you need for summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel. Membership is free, and when you sign up and shop today, you get an extra 10% cash back boost. That's an extra 10% cash back on top of the 15% cash back. You won't see higher cash back rates than these. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten. Shoppers get it. Are you aware of the revolution that has taken place in fasting that helps weight loss, mental and physical performance, and gut health? It's called Prolon. Everybody knows fasting is healthy, but oh my God, fasting can also be challenging, but not with Prolon. Prolon is fasting with food. That's right. It's fasting, but with food. It all starts with Prolon's 5-day program. Snacks, soups, and beverages are all designed to activate your body's fasting state, and it's unlike anything you've ever experienced. Researched and developed for decades at the University of Southern California Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, Prolon helps promote healthy blood sugar support, cardiovascular health, and reduce abdominal fat. If I was going to start a nutritional program, Prolon is exactly what I would use. It's convenient and it works. Right now, Prolon is offering Juicy Scoopers 10% off their 5-day nutritional program. Go to ProlonLife.com/JuicyScoop. That's ProlonLife.com/JuicyScoop for this special offer. That's ProlonLife.com/JuicyScoop. Also, Britney Spears, she got in a horrible fight with her boyfriend. And this is the boyfriend that I met when I saw her at Chateau Marmont. I didn't know it was her boyfriend, though they seemed like they were kind of a couple. I guess they were. That was back in December. She tried to say it was no big deal, that she was trying to leap in a hallway and she tripped and hurt her foot, but they called the ambulance and the ambulance took her. And then when she got back to her house, she did a bunch of videos saying, like, this is totally my mom's doing. They're just trying to make me look like I'm, you know, not stable again, when all I was doing was just trying to do a dance leap in a hotel room and I sprained my ankle. And that's all it is. And it's not a big deal. And I don't know why people are exaggerating so much. But the Chateau Marmont reports were that she was, loud and disturbing people. And then also that she was hurt and fighting with him. And that is why they called the ambulance. But I don't think she went to the hospital. So I don't know. Brittany, I'm telling you, why don't we just go and get some coffee, go to Joey's. I will do my Drew Barrymore for you as much as you want. Okay, so just please put some ice on that ankle, girl. Hold off. Don't try to squeeze that swollen shoe in your brown sensible pumps. And we will just hang out and just pick flowers and just enjoy a beautiful spring day in Calabasas. Bethany Frankel has officially, it's according to Us Weekly, broken up with her fiance, Paul Benson. This is something that many of us suspected, being that she started talking about her horrible divorce with Jason Hoppe. She's going to do a whole series on her divorce. I think it was inspired by the Risa Tisa, Who the Fuck Did I Marry, 50-part series, and that fame that that woman got. I think Bethany was like, you know what? I never talked about this and I've got tons of material. So let's go, iHeart. And she did a couple episodes and then her mom unfortunately passed, which she had a tumultuous relationship with. And she did an episode about her mother, a very raw episode about that. But now the two episodes, because she was going to do like 50 of them, about the horrible divorce to Jason Hoppe, those are been removed. I don't know if it's legally. I don't know if she chose to do it to protect her daughter, which is probably a wise choice. I don't think the daughter would appreciate it. But maybe she wanted to do it because at the time she was broken up with Paul and was like, fuck it. Like, let me just distract myself with someone who was worse. Who knows why they broke up? Not everybody lasts forever. But now it's out there. But one thing I did notice is when I did listen to her episode about her mother passing, and in talking about her life, she didn't ever, and the morning of it, she never was saying, and then Paul was there and he was hugging me and holding me and telling me this, or he brought me chicken soup. She never mentioned him in that episode. And that's, I was already pretty convinced, but that's why I was. So there's some scoop there. And, the only reason I'm mentioning it is because Us Weekly and, you know, she shares a lot about her life with us. So they are no longer. Meghan Markle, allegedly, people are saying that she's greedy, that A-listers are like, we are not interested in hanging out with her. She definitely is not as popular as she was a couple years ago. I feel like people don't know where it's going. I still have yet to receive the jam. And of course, the podcast is on hold. And supposedly Lemonada, which is the new podcast company, thought that she would be all excited, but instead it's been postponed to 2025 because I guess she's going to work on her cooking show with Netflix. And no A-listers are like dying to hang out with her. But you know what? If you need someone to do your cooking show with, or if you want, we could go to a restaurant and I can show you how I am the world's best order. I'm still open to it. I still am on your side, Meghan Markle, that your sister and brother are nightmares. And I can show you how to make a more interesting podcast. Also, Selling Sunset has dropped and it's very juicy. I'll be watching it and giving more into it. But the big story is that there's this cute guy named Austin. He's married to his wife. They have two little twin girls. And this other guy who is either out as bi or gay, it starts to tell the other agents that one night he went over to their house and they propositioned him. And a lot of people are like, that's weird that a woman would want to like maybe be with a gay or bisexual man and that she'd be down for her husband. And is that saying that her husband Austin is gay? And then the Austin guy is like, that's not what happened. We invited him over. My wife made cookies, and that was it. And now we never propositioned him or whatever. And most people are saying it's always the realtors that, you know, really have no listings that then have to like drive these stories. But anyway, it sounds very juicy. Also, Alex Hall, the pretty brunette who was on my show, she's been having a lot of press lately because she was the girl that dated Brittany Snow's ex in the last two seasons. Well, the first season I talked to her about it, saying I don't think their marriage will last. And then the second season is when he breaks up with his wife and then they get together. And then so she was annoyed that Brittany Snow was alluding to her being a cheater because she's like, there was no cheating ever involved. And I don't like that. So, you know, it's a beautiful time to watch just hot people in tiny outfits selling beautiful, I like to call it real estate porn. And that's what we're going to watch. It's going to be pretty juicy. Sofia Vergara got her own chihuahua. Remember, I told you, I believe that the chihuahua that she originally got for herself, that then her ex-husband Joe was all over and with at all times, I felt that that chihuahua might have been the reason for the demise of the marriage. Well, she posted that she got another one, and let's hope this one loves her more than the first. And now for such a juicy interview that answers so many questions about Hollywood lawsuits. Let's get into it. Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I've got a real juicy one. We have attorney at law Jeff Lewis, my new favorite and forever favorite Jeff Lewis. We've had some working dealings cases together. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we're obviously very interested in this Vanderpump Rules lawsuit that has happened. Rachel Raquel, which now the lawsuit is under the name Rachel, which I assume is because that is her legal name. I don't think she ever legally changed it to Raquel, and that's what she used when she was on the show. And since she's left the show, she went back to Rachel. Rachel filed a lawsuit, and why don't you explain, let's start there, what exactly the lawsuit is saying.
Sure, we could talk about the allegations, and then we'll get into the evidence, because there seems to be a little bit of a gap between the allegations and the evidence. The allegations are that a video was made without her consent of her having sex with one of the two Toms, Tom Sandoval.
And having FaceTime sex on herself, not with another human.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that it was made without her consent, and that it was distributed to multiple people and invaded her privacy, violated California's revenge porn laws, intentional infliction of emotional distress, et cetera. And so she's seeking an unspecified amount of dollars and injunctive relief and punitive damages.
What's injunctive relief?
Injunctive relief can be if they find that you, for example, had a copy of the video on your phone, you could be ordered to delete it. They could try to – the court can try to undo all the distribution and broadcasting of this video.
So just to get people up to speed, my audience knows what happened, but in case you didn't, this all went down in about a year ago, just about a little over a year. I believe it was end of March when this happened, where Ariana Madix, who lived with Tom Sandoval, who was best friends at the time with Rachel, they were all on Vanderpump together. Filming had stopped and she was at his show. Ariana was at Tom's show. And his phone, either someone handed it to her while he was performing. She had access to his phone. And I guess he didn't have a passcode, or she knew the passcode. And something told her to look at his camera roll. And that's when she saw this intimate sexual video that of Raquel pleasuring herself. And that's when she knew that they were more than friends and freaked out. And so now let's get into what Rachel is saying that happened next.
Yeah, well, the allegations are really broad. And by the way, she spends a lot of time talking about Bravo and Andy Cohen and hostile work environment, but they're not parties. They're not defendants. So I'm not sure why they spend a lot of time in the complaint talking about the
Can I ask, as non-attorney, does the attorneys decide to do that in the complaint or the lawsuit to set up maybe that they could eventually do another lawsuit against them? Is that why? To get it all out there at the same time?
There's a few reasons. That's one reason. Another is to tell a complete story, because lawyers are storytellers, to get a complete picture. Another is to, when Bravo and Andy Cohen gets a copy of this lawsuit and you see that there are does in the case, and maybe they might be added to the case later.
And explain what a DOE is.
A DOE is a fictitiously named defendant.
Okay.
Yeah. It could be, this is rarely the case, but it could be they drafted it with the idea of naming Bravo and Cohen early on. That's part of the narrative. And at the last minute, they took Bravo and Cohen out. Nobody but her lawyers will know which of the reasons, but they go on and on with that story.
Right. That she was exploited as a reality
right.
cast member.
Right. Yeah. Exploited. They took advantage of her. They knew she was mentally hurting from this situation, and they used it.
One of the things that I saw was they said that she is also saying she didn't get a chance to tell her side of the story. And that part is confusing to me because she was invited to the reunion. She was able, she did decide to go. So I don't understand why they're saying, I mean, at any time she could have gone on Instagram and said her story or gone on a podcast. She did eventually go on Bethany Frankel's, but she could have even gone earlier. And so do you know what her reasoning is to say that she wasn't able to speak?
It's not clear now, but with this anti-slap motion being filed, she'll have the chance to file a declaration in response, and maybe we'll see a little bit more about her timing issues and why she did what she did.
So why don't you explain what this anti-slap really means, and this is what Ariana Madix's attorneys have sent into a response. Because she's suing Ariana and Tom.
Correct.
Separately, and they're not working together. They have their own separate counsel.
Separate counsel and separate legal strategies. Tom went in with what's called a demur. It's a motion to dismiss the case. Has nothing to do with the First Amendment or anti-slap. Anti-slap in California provides protection for people who are sued for speaking their mind. So people who qualify for anti-slap protection can file a motion to dismiss very early within the first 60 days of a lawsuit. All discovery is stayed. And immediately the plaintiff—
Meaning discovery stayed means what?
No depositions are taken. Okay. You can't ask for documents. You can't ask written questions. All these burdensome, expensive, time-consuming activities.
Okay.
And in the first few months of the case, the plaintiff here, Raquel, would have to put her cards on the table and say, this is the evidence I have, and this is why I should win this case. And if she doesn't have enough evidence, the case gets dismissed. She has to pay the attorney's fees of the person who moved to strike, filed the anti-slap motion.
Okay.
So it's a very powerful device in First Amendment cases.
Yeah.
I do want to say I don't know if this is a big First Amendment case because mm-hmm. although these people are in the public eye, sending a private text message between two people, because the harm that's alleged here is that this video was recorded and then Ariana sent it by text message.
Back
right.
to Raquel, like, I know what's up.
Right. Not to The Guardian, not to Instagram, to one person. And I don't know that the court's going to find that this is enough of a public issue that the First Amendment really applies. So I'd be surprised if this anti-slap motion even got granted.
So basically, Rachel is saying that all these does, like, there could be a hundred, like, she thinks that it was sent to other cast members and they were seeing it. That is her belief.
Yeah. She alleges two kinds of broad conduct in the complaint. One, that it was recorded without her consent. And two, that it was distributed widely without her consent. And the evidence so far, now she hasn't set her side in a written declaration, but the evidence so far in terms of this anti-slap motion is there was one text message and that's it. And then the videos were immediately deleted off of her phone by Tom. So if that's all there is, if that's the only evidence and there's nothing more, this lawsuit's not going to go very far.
So with, but, you know, so it's just she's, from what I gathered is Rachel saying, like, I know from other people saying, like, hey, I did see it and this person saw it and they sent it to me. And so, but it's all kind of hearsay because at this point there's no proof to say that someone sent it and then it did get deleted, you know, 7 months ago. But for 1 minute, whatever, maybe some other people saw it. But it's interesting because Juicy Scoop was mentioned in Ariana's,
right?
How do you say it, complaint? Or
yeah, the complaint.
Saying that I had Lala on and Lala was, I was asking about it because Lala did receive a email directly from an attorney who I don't know if it's the same attorney now, but of her attorney of Rachel's saying, you know, but you better not share this or anything. And that's when Lala had this like viral moment where she's like, don't send it, you know, don't send a letter to me. You can send it to Daryl. Send it to Daryl. And that's her attorney.
Oh, I see.
And she made sure to send it to Daryl. And it was just kind of like, I don't know, it just, people were so wrapped up in the story and she was kind of funny the way she said it. And she was kind of like badass. She's like, I have a little baby to take care of. I don't need to wake up to this message and da da da. And so, but that was always like, I mean, I can attest to, in talking to Lala, like right when it happened. And I was like, wait, is this really real? And she, her story was that exact story. She got, she had the phone. Yeah. Like the story has never changed as someone who heard it, like within it breaking on TMZ within an hour. And, you know, I shared as much as I was allowed to share at that time, but I was like, wow. And so then a couple, like a few weeks later, she was on my show and that was the same story that she never saw it. She was told what happened. She told, it was told that there was this video.
Yeah.
That they were clearly having a phone, a video phone sex kind of a situation. And so I guess the question is, for the Tom element, is if you're FaceTiming each other, I guess one person can record it. The other person can record it without it showing this is being recorded?
Yeah, from a tech point of view, that's possible.
Okay.
Now, if you're recording someone's sound, it's illegal in California to tape somebody without their consent. On the other hand, I think there's an argument out there, maybe Tom raised it, that there was no sound, it was just video. And if that's the case, it may not have violated California's eavesdropping laws.
Oh, which is probably, being that this is all such new technology, from the FaceTiming to the revenge porn,
yeah,
to all of it, that's what makes this, like, you're going to probably, maybe there will be some precedent set in this if it goes past the slap or no?
It could. It will go past the slap. I predict the anti-slap motion will be denied. I predict the demur will be.
Oh, you think it will be denied?
On First Amendment grounds. I'm not saying this lawsuit has any merit. What I am saying is this is not a First Amendment case. This was not, these videos were not put on the front page of the Washington Post. That's a First Amendment case. If you get sued for something you say on your podcast, that's a First Amendment case. Two people exchanging a video and then it quietly being texted to somebody else, if it ended there and went no further, that's not a First Amendment case.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
And so, when will we know if Ariana gets this and then it's dead, right? If the judge, so one judge has to look at Ariana's complaint and decide if it's been granted or not, and then they're done, they can't go after her again?
If the judge were to grant that anti-slap motion and the case were dismissed, they have the right of immediate appeal. And that process takes about a year, and you go in front of three appellate justices, and they look
Rachel
at
it. Rachel has an immediate appeal. Okay.
Right. Right. If the case is dismissed. If the case is not dismissed, Ariana would have the right to an immediate appeal, have those three same appellate justices looking at the anti-slap motion. But that's not going to be the first thing that happens. I predict the first thing that will happen when this motion was filed is that the other side, Raquel's lawyers, have the right to ask for discovery. They can say to the court, hey, we think person A and person B and person C have cell phones, that we should have an IT guy look at those cell phones and see, is the video there? Or have any videos been deleted around the time that these issues came up in order to properly oppose the anti-slap motion? So the first battle you're going to see is, can Raquel do discovery?
I mean, this is just, as someone who's followed it, this is so frustrating. Like, I can't believe that that Ariana has to go through this bullshit. Like,
well,
she's doing well. She's going back to Chicago. She has a shoe collab. She's doing all these things. And I believe she's doing it with a lot of grace and professionalism. And then like, I don't care, you know, being having gone through it, I've shared with my audience how incredibly stressful it is.
Right.
Even if everybody tells you you're in the right, you did nothing wrong, you'll just watch a Dateline about someone who did committed murder and it'll like give you anxiety.
Right.
It'll make you feel like, oh my God, what, how long, or how long could this go on for? And every time there's a phone call from you or an email, it like shoots up your anxiety. It's awful.
Yeah. But the good news is Ariana was sued in California. About half the states in the United States don't have anti-SLAPP laws. And if she were sued in a state that didn't have an anti-SLAPP law, she'd be going 3 to 5 years, spend $500,000 in attorney's fees, have to go through depositions, discovery, people looking at her phone. At least this way, there is a potential shortcut, although I think the anti-SLAPP motion will be denied.
And you think it will be denied. That's a big bummer.
Yeah. On First Amendment grounds, I'm not saying that the case has any merit. In terms of the merit, if somebody ever looks at the merit of that case, they got to see, well.
But you say First Amendment, but you've said it wasn't on the cover of magazines. It wasn't right. Shown on her Instagram Live or something. So then why should it continue then?
Yeah, where's your damages? Where are your damages? If this video just went from person A to person B and that was it and it wasn't on a newspaper, so what? Who cares? Now, the allegations are pretty broad. If the allegations are true, that this was widely disseminated, it wasn't just person A to person B, but it's out there, well, maybe she might have some damages, but I don't think so. But the problem is it's going to take a while for a judge to get to the point of assessing this question of, are there damages or not?
I mean, listen, when you think about sex tapes that were seen by people, whether it was Tommy and Pamela or Paris Hilton or Kim Kardashian or whatever, I don't know one person that says that they've seen this. I don't think there's one. It's not like all of a sudden it's on this dark web and they're like, look, it ended up on this dark web. So somebody in this circle must have given it to somebody to put it on this crazy website. So there's no evidence that it's getting any other views by strangers at this time, right?
Heather, your instinct is right. If there was such evidence, the plaintiff would have put a copy of that text message or that image on a server in the complaint, would have put the URL where this video could be found or the date where it was transmitted.
Right.
And the fact that they weren't that specific and they didn't name names suggests that maybe there's no evidence. This is a shoot first, aim second scenario where they file a lawsuit first and hope to do some discovery and see, well, what might be on people's cell phones.
Do they think that maybe somebody that will be like, all right, I'm so stressed and I feel like I'm an accessory to this. So here on March, whatever, here, do they think that could maybe happen and someone come forward that, you know, is scared that if they don't come forward, it'll be worse for them?
That does happen. You know, when these lawsuits get filed and lawyers send out, they're called evidence preservation letters saying, hey, you were in contact with this person, received text messages around this time. Preserve your phone. Make a copy of it. Don't let it get dropped in the ocean. People facing that might call their own lawyer and say, well, what should I do? Well, maybe go cut a deal, turn over your phone in exchange for an agreement and a full release. And that way it's not your problem.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just like a criminal case. You know, the smaller fish kind of make deals and then you go up the food chain to the bigger fish.
I just feel like unless there's like a murder involved, isn't that a pretty big deal to try to go and see what was deleted from the cloud and all that kind of stuff in today's world?
It's very expensive, very cumbersome to do that. And in this whole lawsuit, by the way, just filing this lawsuit is a very expensive process.
How much is it?
You know, a lawyer, assuming it's not on contingency, meaning assuming she's actually paying her lawyers, it costs anywhere from $250,000 to $500,000.
Well, don't you think this is a contingency?
I wouldn't have taken this case on a contingency because there's no damages, right? You get paid a third of what?
Well, the thing is that these attorneys are also involved in some other Bravo-related things. So maybe it's just a whole laying the foundation for something larger.
Oh, yeah. I've seen cases like this where discovery from one case is used for another, et cetera. So it could be strategic from that point of view. Sure. I'll tell you one thing. This case brings to mind the case involving Katie Hill, a former politician in California. She had an issue with revenge porn and her ex. I don't know if it was a boyfriend or a husband, but her ex put video images out there and they were put on a newspaper. And she sued the newspaper and her ex for revenge porn, in violation of California's revenge porn law. And the court looked at it. And an anti-SLAPP motion was filed. by the newspaper saying, this is our First Amendment right to publish this. And normally, under the revenge law, this lawsuit would have been able to survive the anti-slap. But there's a little portion of the revenge law that says, hey, if this is a matter of public concern, if there's a matter of public interest, people have a right to have this posted on the internet and your anti-slap motion can be granted and the case can be dismissed. And that's what happened to Katie Hill. At the end of the day, her revenge porn was put in the newspaper. The newspaper filed an anti-slap motion, got the case dismissed. She had to write a check to the newspaper for attorney's fees, and the case was over. I bring that up because I wonder if a reality star, if there's enough public concern or public interest in the contents of these tapes, that maybe a similar argument could be raised.
Yeah. Well, normally they film in the summer.
Okay.
And now they've been put on pause.
Okay.
The show. Now, a lot of people think it's because, one, Ariana, who's obviously was always a regular cast member, but really was not, kind of was under the radar for many years as just Tom's girlfriend and a pretty girl that was going to have a couple fun moments, but not big storylines. And she is, I think, doing, she's hosting like Love Island. She's going back and doing a month of Chicago in New York as the star of Chicago. So people think, is that why they're holding off on it? Also, Lala, one of the other stars, is pregnant with her second child. She's due in September, so they wonder if that's the reason. Now I'm thinking this could be the reason to
right.
see if this goes away, because maybe they don't want this to be a storyline, but how could they not discuss it? I mean, this is a huge part of your life. And will there be a moment where, like, Tom and Ariana in some way not come together legally, but come together as, like, I can't believe we, you know.
Right.
I can't believe that this is the triangle that we're now in, is the mistress is coming after both of us, you know?
It's absolutely going to be brought up. I mean, can you imagine the reality housewife shows not discussing Tom Girardi and the proceeding
right.
against Tom Girardi? You couldn't. It's the elephant in the room.
Right. So maybe that's, yeah, it's very interesting. The other part was they always normally film in the summer, but then there was, you know, a little bit of a scheduling difference because of the scandal of last year. But, yeah, I mean, that it's just interesting because, like, she went away. People, yeah, she got a lot of hate for it. She did. Rachel. Then she went away, and then she did Bethany Frankel's podcast, which I did not think she was ready to do, in my opinion.
Okay.
I don't think she came off humble or changed or, and I always said, I'm like, she should come back with, like, guys, this is how, you know, this is how it happened. I can't believe I did this. Now I want to talk to other men and women that were in a deceptive affair, hurting a person, not only having an affair with someone who's married, but knowing the partner, something like that. And then talk about it. And maybe then some people would see some forgiveness or whatever. But she didn't do that. She went, started her own podcast and is now just kind of rewriting history, reviewing the show like everybody else. And she's still in, you know, she's still very relevant because we're talking about her and because of her podcast and this, you know. But as far as, like trying to rebuild a reputation as someone as, like, hey, I did a really bad thing, but I'm a different person now, I feel like this lawsuit completely ruins that with the public.
Well, yeah, your gut instinct's right in terms of PR, but also keep this in mind. Her reputation is terrible. And in court, she's going to say, my reputation was harmed. Well, your reputation was terrible because of what you did, not because of this tape. And
yeah.
I don't know how a plaintiff's attorney can rehabilitate that and ask a jury for damages.
I mean, what's interesting is someone who's covered it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The discovery of Ariana having hardcore evidence with her eyeballs that there was something going on, which is this small video. This intimate sexual video, that's like the littlest part of what was discussed. I'm just thinking about that now at the reunion and everything mm-hmm. else. It was really just, oh my God, you know, there was a scene where we know that she was months deep into sleeping with Tom behind Ariana's back. And there's a scene where the cameras are there and she's like, how's everything going with Tom? Is your sex life getting better?
Oh, wow.
And it's moments like that that just made women go, oh my God, because women came out and be like, and they would say, my sister, my best friend was having an affair with my man and then acting like a friend, counseling me. And so people go, why was this such a big story? Reality stars have cheated in the past. But it's been like with a one night stand or with an outside person. It was never within the cast with this deep, deep history of friendship and stuff. And I think that's what got people talking. But the people were not going, oh my God, can you believe that she filmed herself having a little phone sex with her man? Like, that wasn't really a big deal.
No, that's not
And that
the story.
Wasn't what hurt her reputation. When her reputation was she had an affair with someone who was her friend's man. That's right. It. If she had an affair with some other guy, because there's other cast members who had affairs with men who were married at the time in the past. And they throw that in those cast members' faces like Sheena and Lala. But it's completely different because they didn't know those women. Those women weren't part of the cast. They were told by these men that, you know, the marriage was over or it wasn't what, you know, what they thought, or they're going through the divorce, whatever. She was well aware that this was a couple. The girl was freezing her eggs to have kids with him. They own the home together. Like, there wasn't any like, oh my God, this guy said he was, you know, 1 month from his divorce being final, which a lot of men do. And a lot of women are blindsided when they, you know, because of course, divorce takes a long time. Do we really expect everybody who's going through a divorce to be a choir boy until, or an altar boy until it's time to? So that's not weird to be dating someone who's legally married or whatever, and they can tell you stuff. So that is what it was. So I'm just thinking, like, really, it's really not about this stupid video, which so many people send nudes and things that in this day and age, it's just like, I mean, it's just not a big deal. It's not like we thought of her as a harlot, you know, a harlotin or whatever, because she did that.
Right. Absolutely. No, yeah. The story's a little broader. It's about betrayal. It's about friendships. It's about everything that went on before that video was shared.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So so now she just awaits and sees. So when does, so the decision has to be made whether it's accepted and dismissed or she has to get do the three appellate thing.
Right.
Pretty soon? Or
I would expect a ruling on either Tom's demur or her anti-slap motion to happen within the next 6 months. And then if no matter who wins or loses, you can expect an appeal. The loser of an anti-slap motion always appeals to get a better result from the Court of Appeal.
The other thing is, you know, Tom Sandoval is, you know, not the beacon of morality or whatever. But one thing I am on his side about is that, you know, this is a 28-year-old woman who knew Tom for 6 or 7 years. She'd been on the show as another guy's girlfriend and then fiance.
Yeah.
And yes, did I think she was manipulated the way one person can manipulate a partner, whether that's a girl to a guy or a guy to a girl? Anyone can lie. Anyone can try to make you feel like there's something more going on or less going on or whatever. But throwing the word around like grooming,
yeah,
like I was groomed,
yeah,
I think is ridiculous. And I think that's unfair to true children. I feel that word should be only used for children.
It's emotionally charged and politically charged term that needs to be reserved for appropriate circumstances.
Yeah, for it wasn't a 39-year-old guy with a 28-year-old woman who was having an affair while they're filming a reality show in the jacuzzi and, you know. Yeah. Like, yeah, that was all bad, but it wasn't. It's not like, and the thing is, the other part is that I think kind of is helping Tom's reputation and maybe people wanting to forgive him is that he really did care about her. He actually wanted it to continue. He wanted her to get out of a rehabilitation place and continue a relationship with him. So it wasn't like he just used her for a storyline or used her and threw her away. And then afterwards she was like, what? I thought you said we're going to be together. It was the opposite. She dumped him.
Wow. Yeah, it's another aspect of the tragedy which makes the public interested in this.
Yeah.
And think about this. You were talking about how retrospectively people were looking at her questions about, hey, how's your sex life? And at the time that conversation didn't mean anything.
Right.
Think about all the hours and hours and hours of Bravo unaired footage that might now be relevant to some of the backstory here preceding that tape and how discovering depositions about that footage might bring other issues to light that we haven't seen.
Right. That could either benefit Rachel or Tom or Ariana. And so maybe that is why Rachel's attorneys are throwing the Bravo and the Andy to, to maybe make them nervous. Is there any world in which legally that being just named Bravo, being named in there but not a defendant, that they could pick up the phone, NBC Universal, and say to Rachel's attorney, for the sake of everybody involved, two of our cast members, Rachel's mental health, everyone wanting to move on, we would like to offer whatever, $300,000 to Rachel to dismiss this herself. Is it too late to do that? Is that something that someone could do?
It's theoretically possible. I imagine the folks at NBC would be hesitant to open the doors towards liability in other situations because these settlements always get out. They're never confidential. They're never private. Uh-huh. So NBC would then be opening, and Bravo would be opening themselves up to other situations and other lawsuits on all their shows. So I don't think it's likely that that kind of scenario will happen. But I will say this. The moment NBC and their lawyers saw the complaint and saw all the references to Cohen and Bravo, they immediately had a duty to start preserving all of that footage and anything, text messages and all of the computer data about the show. And
between producers and talent and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's going to be a financial impact to NBC and Bravo and Cohen, even if they're never sued, just in terms of the evidence preservation. I'm sure they're going to be deposed. I wouldn't be surprised if Cohen's not deposed.
Mm. And what would Cohen have to say? He wasn't a producer. I could see a producer being deposed, but why would Andy Cohen have to, as just someone who did, you know, interviews on Watch What Happens Live and did the reunion?
Well, the ability to discover in California is very broad. You don't have to have a specific reason to depose someone if you just have a plausible reason. And who knows, maybe there'll be something found on these unaired tapes that will potentially impact a communication or a video involving Cohen. I'm not suggesting he did anything wrong, but that he might be a witness to something.
So, you know, speaking of which, the night of discovery of the cheating happened when Sheena Shea and Rachel, who were also acting like best buddies on Watch What Happened Live, Annie Cohen's TV show, they were on the show that night. Then afterwards, they were at a bar in New York. That is when Rachel said to Sheena very nonchalantly, "Oh, Ariana just found out. Anyway, I forgot to tell you, I've been having an affair with Tom Sandoval for 7 months." And that's when Sheena was just so like, "Wait, what?"
Wow.
And got very upset with Rachel. And then Rachel went on to say that she physically scratched her and she threatened to have a restraining order and all this stuff.
Oh, wow.
But then the day that Sheena showed up in Van Nuys court to defend herself so that restraining order would not be granted and she wouldn't have that on her record, Rachel then decided not to show up.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And, there was no witnesses or whatever. I mean, in this alley of where they had this argument, was there a, you know, camera in an alley? Probably, but this is 8 months later. So unless they asked for it that day, and again, it wasn't like someone got murdered. And now my other question is, because you talk about the California thing. So the fact that Rachel was physically in New York City when Ariana texted her from California, does that matter at all? That then if she sent the video from her phone in California to a person physically in New York to her phone in New York, does that not matter because the phone was originally bought and set up in California? Or does it matter where you are when you receive it?
Let me give you a lawyer answer. Yes.
Okay.
As long as one of the phones was in California or as long as one of the defendants lived in California,
There's
a good faith argument to bring the case in California. Now, New York has a pretty robust anti-slap law.
So, similar. Yeah.
I mean, keep in mind, lawyers will jockey for different states depending on the strength of anti-slap laws. You know, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard.
Right.
That case was filed in Virginia. At the time, they had a very weak anti-slap law.
But how did they get Virginia then?
Washington Post has a connection. I'm not sure if their corporation is domiciled there. Washington Post was.
They were the ones that published her op-ed. Yeah.
So that's why, by the way, I'm a big fan of. There's a proposal in Congress sitting around to make a national anti-slap law so that everybody has this protection. There's a little less gamesmanship with lawyers trying to pick which state to file in.
Right. And so, and then the other big thing about suing for defamation that somebody said on a podcast, let's say, you know, you're a liar, you're an awful person, you're a thief, whatever, something like that. Someone says something like that, and then someone would be like, oh my God, they said this lie about you, you should sue for defamation. It's my knowledge that, first of all, that's a lot of effort and work, but also I would have to prove that because that person said that lie about me, I lost a $1 million deal selling jeans. And I was just about to do a jean deal, and then this came out, and they wrote, due to this, we don't want to do your denim deal with you. And then that would be proof enough that I absolutely lost a job because of a lie that was said.
Yeah, and you could probably prove the loss, but it's the causation part that's hard to prove, that you lost that particular deal because of that particular comment. But the harder thing is, look, you're famous. Public figures have a higher burden of proof when going to court and suing for defamation. You got to prove that the person who said something bad about you at the time they said the statement knew what they were saying was false or had reckless disregard as to whether it was false. And it's really hard to crawl inside someone's head and figure out, you know, nobody writes a memo saying, I don't believe what I'm saying about Heather McDonald. So that's the biggest. It's called actual malice. There's a New York Times Sullivan case. And that's the biggest barrier to famous people filing defamation lawsuits.
And so speaking of which, I just thought of another thing that just came up this week. Have you heard of the documentary Quiet on Set?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, Dan Schneider was a big producer on that Nickelodeon show. And the gist of it is mostly about Drake Bell, who was a victim of, sexual assault, molestation from his acting teacher who was employed by Nickelodeon and that whole thing. But there were other accounts saying of how Dan Schneider ran his room as a showrunner. Nobody's accusing him of anything like I was molested by. Nobody's saying that. But they shared their stories about him as a producer and the kind of room that he ran and that it was, you know, toxic or odd or whatever. Lots of sexual innuendos and stuff on the show. He then did a 16-minute video saying, I apologize, I'm sorry that this ever happened, if people felt this way, whatever. He has now filed a defamation lawsuit.
Oh, wow.
Saying that he felt it was a hit piece against him.
Wow.
And so a lot of the comments under that story were like, well, now the people that were holding back, they might get...
Here they come.
They might get deposed by the production company to have to say, hey, I worked for him and these five weird, awful things happened. Because a lot of those people, I had one of the writers on my show, and she still was like she was featured on the show,
yeah.
Christy Stratton, and she was still so terrified just in speaking about her own experience. But all these other writers didn't go on the documentary out of fear of the retaliation that Dan Schneider would do for them.
Right.
So now they might be like, fuck it. You know what? I'm going to tell everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, you know, I kind of poo-pooed the anti-slap motion in this case. If that Netflix case involves a complaint for defamation against Netflix, you can 100%.
Oh, I think they were on Discovery.
Oh, on Discovery.
Discovery Network, yeah.
You can 100% guarantee there'll be an anti-slap motion because that is a First Amendment issue. When you put on a documentary about harmful conduct to kids, that's in the public interest. So the people who file that lawsuit will have to prove probably actual malice. They got to prove damages. They got to prove a lot of things to get past an anti-slap motion.
Right.
Yeah.
So before we wrap up, we had our own case that you helped us out with. And I'll just explain it and then we can tell what happened.
Okay.
So I'm good friends with Josh Flagg, who is a member of Million Dollar Listing. And this was shortly after, like, January 6th, COVID time, whatever.
Right.
Around then. I can't remember what happened first or whatever. But he was kind of doing a lot of, like, man on the street type of stuff. And he saw that there was, like, this patriotic kind of anti-vaxxer situation happening in Beverly Hills. And so he went and he, like, interviewed this woman. And then he was like, well, you know, come in my backyard and I'll interview. So he does an interview with her again. And then it gets revealed that she was arrested for being part of the January 6th insurrection.
Not just arrested. Let me just interject
okay.
here. If you were at home watching this on TV, you saw a woman with mascara running after tear gas. She was, for me, the face of J6 in the sense that she was on every TV station with that image.
So that was discovered after he did this like interview with her. And so then he comes on my show and I go, wait a minute, what was that? You did that crazy interview with that woman.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? And he goes, oh my gosh, you know, I found out later that she was arrested in connection with being there on January 6th. And then he jokingly said, I was harboring, little did I know I was harboring a terrorist
right.
in my backyard, joking, you know?
Yeah.
And so we're like, oh, I never remember saying her name or anything. And then she sued me.
TMZ, Harvey Levin, Josh, a whole bunch of other folks for defamation and all sorts of crazy legal theories.
And so then what happened once we handed it to you?
Fortunately, you live in California.
Yeah.
And you called me and we filed an anti-slap motion. She put up what evidence she could. She didn't have any. First of all, the claims were time barred. Second of all, you didn't say anything false.
What does time barred mean?
You got 1 year to sue for defamation.
Oh,
one year
okay.
from when the words were said. And she sued you well after a year.
Okay.
But also, you didn't say anything false. You
right.
didn't commit defamation. And it was a newsworthy topic. And so the case was dismissed, and the court ordered her to pay all of your attorney's fees. And now she's still on house arrest waiting for her criminal trial date. I took her deposition. She showed up with a ankle bracelet, you know, one of those home monitoring things. I've never seen one of those before. And by the way, nice woman, genuinely believes in her cause, but she had no business suing you.
Yeah, I just think people need to know when you do that or when an attorney maybe talks you into it or takes your case, that there are some real repercussions of like doing this. It's a reckless thing to do, to sue someone. For the sake of suing someone. Some people, I think, love it and it's fun for them.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's why I like this law, because it's not fun when you're unrightfully sued for something. It's a horrible, horrible nightmare that can be like really debilitating.
It's stressful.
Yeah.
It's drain on your energy. And you still have to pay some money while
right.
you're waiting for the rightful outcome. And there's always the idea, you never know if you'll get a judge who doesn't know the law and you
right.
might lose. But there are consequences, at least in California, for aiming first or shooting first and aiming second and filing a lawsuit that you have no business filing. That's the case. Gina's lawyer should have taken her aside and said, yeah,
that's
this
the
is
the woman, the January 6th woman. Yeah.
Yeah. Gina's lawyer should have taken her aside and said, this is awful what happened to you. Yeah. Heather's a bad person, but we're not going to file this lawsuit. You can't sue someone for saying something on a podcast.
Yeah.
That's what should have happened.
Right. Very interesting. As podcasts, you know, become more and more popular, you know, it's just interesting where then sometimes when podcasters are like, I'm going to sue, listen, we want to have First Amendment rights here. We all want to talk about things as we can. And yes, say allegedly before, but and show the reference and all of that, which I try to do more and more. But, you know, we don't want this to be a place where like no one can say anything out of fear of like, oh, you said I was mean at a party or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Lawsuits are a terrible remedy for mean thoughts and mean statements. Instead, start your own podcast and say the truth and let the ideas fight it out in the arena of public opinion rather
yeah.
than hiring a lawyer to file a lawsuit.
Right. And then just like how so many of these things now come up because of the internet and, anonymous people that write things on blind items, Twitter, you know, all these anonymous things. And then it gets out. Oh, it's all of the internet that your husband's cheating. And they either plant it or they wait, you know, for then the cameras to be there. And then they can go, oh, look, I just opened up Twitter or X or whatever. And there's this person saying, you know, Jojo29.5 that so-and-so's husband is rumored to be a cheater. And then that becomes a storyline. And that's the other thing you have to realize when you accept to be on this show.
Right.
That there could be these other elements that it's not just how you behave at a party that can be used against you or what you say in your home to your wife while having coffee. It can be all these other elements that then the other cast members then talk about these fake stories and rumors.
Yeah.
Which would have died without the show. Well, no one would know who you are. But also without the show, it would have just died on that small person's platform, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I know it's your audience, but you got to be crazy to sign up for one of these shows if you value your privacy.
Because yeah.
Everything is on the table, including innuendo, stuff that has no basis in fact.
Right. Yeah. Very interesting. Tell everybody where they can find you if they need legal help in any way.
Yeah. My name's Jeff Lewis. I don't flip houses. They can find me at jefflewislaw.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7. So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7. So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.